Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome back to Paddock Project. I am back from the Miami Grand Prix and I have so much to share with you all, including all about the in-person experience and of course a race weekend recap. Very crazy weekend, so much to recap, but I kind of want to walk through the experience day by day and then we're going to get into all of the racing. First on Thursday, so that is usually media day. I was lucky enough to get to go and be in the paddock and also do stuff with F1 Academy during that day. So first, though, I took a red eye Wednesday night from San Francisco, landed at 7:30 a.m. Luckily, got to check into the hotel early. I was staying at Hotel Greystone. So nice of them to have me, and they brought champagne and the whole thing. It was a perfect home base on South Beach to be at. So loved doing that. And then from there, I luckily got to check in. I showered, went to the Tommy Hilfiger fitting, as I mentioned. Thank you so much to Igor and team for gifting me all of these amazing things. The vision was just chef's kiss, and it was perfect for that night. But first, before the night, the day. First things first, during the day, I got to interview Leah Block, which was amazing. I love her. We had interviewed her literally this time last year, so we were reminiscing on that and how far she's come and how much has happened since then, including Netflix kind of following her around. I cannot wait for you all to see that series. It's amazing. I've only seen the first episode, but I can already tell they've knocked it out of the park. And Leah is a big character. So really fun to sit down, chat with her. I then got to roam the paddock a little bit. I saw a lot of familiar faces while we were there. So I saw Bottas, Alonso, Leclerc. I saw both V-carb drivers kind of doing their thing. Media day is a little bit chiller in the paddock, but what's cool about the Miami paddock is that it's so open. And so even on the busiest days, it really doesn't feel that crazy crowded because it's in the middle of the stadium, the team hospitality with the grass, like you're literally on the football field in the team hospitality section of the paddock, looking up into the Hard Rock Stadium. And so that's very open. You know, all the pictures you've seen of people throwing footballs and stuff and the Dolphins coming, like that's all in that area. And then when you go slightly outside of that, outside the stadium a bit, that's where you get into the garages and sort of that main paddock walk that you typically see. But what's cool about Miami is that it's so big. There's so much food. There's so many like activations. There was a huge F1 movie activation showing off the soundtrack. And so I got to listen to the soundtrack for the first time, much of which is unreleased. And let me tell you, it is so good. That Tate McRae song, I went back like 3 times just to listen to that snippet. It was like a 45 second snippet of that song, but I went back and I listened like 4 times. It's really, really good. And so many good artists like Ed Sheeran, Dom Dalla. There are a lot of really cool artists on the album. So I'm excited for everybody to hear it in full. I got to see Toto also kind of roaming around on his scooter, which was cool. I saw Lewis roaming around on his scooter a couple times. I saw Fred Vasseur. I saw GP, who was looking very serious. That's Max's race engineer. But it was really cool to just kind of be let loose for a few hours, walk around, see the sights in the paddock, get some food, get the patches, do the whole thing. So that was really fun. And then I went to the Women Drive panel that I mentioned. It was amazing hearing from all of these great women. And it was really cool for F1 Miami to put that on and organize that because it was in the paddock. So it wasn't necessarily for female fans of motorsport. It was really for women who work in motorsport. And I don't necessarily include myself in that, but it was really nice to be able to be there as a content creator and a podcaster just to kind of listen and feel like we were a part of it. In a sense, but it was cool to see a lot of the women from different teams and other walks of life within F1 attending that. Then it was time to leave. We went back home, changed really quickly. I put on my Tommy outfit, went to the F1 Academy premiere, which was so emotional for me. Like, I obviously don't work in F1 Academy, but we have worked as Paddock Project and for the girls with F1 Academy since its first season. Like, we went and worked with them. The first race we covered for them was in Austin in 2023. That was their first ever race co-located with F1. And so that was their first season. It has grown and changed so much in just a short amount of time. Like, going from Austin 2023, working with them, to then working with them throughout 2024, and then coming back for my first race with them this year in 2025 was just such an honor and a privilege to see how far they've come and how much they've grown and what Susie has done with the series, what the whole team has done. The team behind F1 Academy is incredible. I mostly interface with Katie and Evie, but they're just the absolute best, sweetest humans, so smart, so hardworking, and really doing incredible things with the series. And so Susie, of course, gets a lot of the credit as she deserves, but there is a really incredible team behind F1 Academy as well who are making it all happen day in and day out. And so to be able to go to the premiere and celebrate that with them and see the first episode, all of the F1 Academy drivers were there, mostly with their families as well, to see that first episode. None of them had seen it before. And so it's actually really cool to be able to see their reactions to the show for the first time. And let me tell you, they have done everything, in my opinion, right with the show. I was a little nervous that maybe it's a hard thing to get right. I think when you're trying to put a show together with young women, many of whom are really young, 16 to 18, they're still in school. How do you kind of portray the competition, the level of performance needed, the preparation with competition, friendship, drama? And I was worried that it would kind of be a carbon copy of Drive to Survive, and I really didn't feel like that at all. Like, it has a lot of the amazing elements of Drive to Survive. I'm a huge fan of Drive to Survive. That's how I got into F1 in the first place. But I think what this show does well is that it's not necessarily just a carbon copy. It doesn't feel like fabricated drama. It feels real, and it feels like you're really getting to know these girls. And I think that can be the missing element sometimes in sports series, especially when you're underneath a helmet. It's like, how do you get to know the personalities? That's what we're all attached to. As humans, I think we love storytelling. And so I'm so excited for this to get brought to life for everyone on screen, because I cried. I thought it was so good. I laughed, I cried, all the emotions, the whole thing. I'm really happy for them. Then went home, didn't do much, needed to get some sleep after that red eye. Friday, this was a big day. I had to go to the track early because I was doing a hot lap with Ford. So thank you so much to Ford, to Red Bull, to Alice from Pepe Jeans for making this happen. It was one of the best experiences of my life. I think if you've not done a hot lap, or if you're ever lucky enough to do one, just take it all in because it goes really fast, but it's so fun. I will release that footage soon. It was amazing. It was not as fast as Las Vegas, but it was cool to do it during the day. And it was cool to do it in a Ford Mustang with the drifting and the braking. I think that's what really gets you, is when you're going at 150 miles per hour down a street, you don't necessarily even feel the speed. It's only until you start braking and you see the walls coming at you really fast that you start to be like, oh my God, I am going so fast right now. And I don't know how these drivers stay so straight. I'm like a rag doll in there. You'll see the footage. I'm screaming. Like, how do you do this for a living? It's crazy to me. But I was so grateful to Ford for letting me do that with them. And so that was such a highlight. Then I got to hang out in the paddock for most of Friday. I ran into Laura Winter, who came up to me, and it was so amazing. If you guys have watched this podcast or listened to this podcast for a while, you know that I interviewed Laura at the beginning of the season, and I've always been such a huge fan of her, and especially, you know, I've always been such a huge fan of her. And so to meet her in person, she is just as lovely, if not lovelier in person, if you can even imagine. She was so sweet, so kind. I think she's one of the absolute best people working in this sport, and meeting her in person really just confirmed that. So thank you, Laura, for everything you're doing and for being the incredible woman you are. What was nice is I got to kind of bounce between the paddock and the F1 Academy paddock. So like I mentioned, all fans can go in, wander in, see the cars, see the drivers. There were a lot of drivers kind of signing, taking pictures, talking to fans. They had an autograph session, which I went to. It was really cool to see how many people were in the F1 Academy paddock. It was packed. And when I say packed, it was not just female fans. And that was one of the things I loved to see the most, was how many men were in that F1 Academy paddock. And I love to see that, because I think for F1 Academy to really succeed, you obviously need female motorsport fans to back it and support it, but you also really need male fans to buy into it and get excited about it. And so I absolutely loved seeing that. And so after that, for sprint quali, I then went to Red Bull Energy Station, got to hang out with a lot of motorsport friends. If you guys know Zoe and Hannah from Fan Behavior, Josh Marsh, and then Marissa, who was also with me for F1 Academy and who was on one of my recaps a couple of recaps ago. Really fun to hang out with them. I think that was one of the most fun parts of this weekend for me, was hanging out with so many other motorsport creators, because it felt like so many, at least the US-based ones, so many of us were here. The community just feels so supportive. It was so cool to see everybody doing different things with different teams, with different brands, with different sponsors. Like, it really felt like a super exciting weekend for everyone who was at Miami, and it didn't feel like the sort of scarcity mindset that I think can sometimes creep into this space of there are only so many opportunities and there are so many creators. It really felt like everybody was doing incredible things. So that was so fun to see, really fun to hang out with them as well. Then went to the Women Who Rocked panel as well, which I was talking about before. That was in the Red Bull Paddock Club. And so that kept us pretty late at the track, got back super late, ordered room service, and went to bed. And then Saturday, big day. This was Ferrari Paddock Club with their partner Pironi. It was my first time doing anything with Ferrari, and it was wild. Ferrari to me has felt sort of like this impenetrable force. Like, it's the oldest team. It's kind of mysterious. It's like the greatest. It has the greatest legacy in Formula One. And so it was really cool to be there and even just to kind of be in the presence of the team and doing anything with them. So I felt very lucky, and I feel so grateful to Pironi and the team, Callie especially, for bringing me there and letting me spend the day with them. I felt really special. Like, I got to take the cars over with them, and it's like black cars with the Ferrari logo and the Pironi logo, and it's like official team partner, and so you feel very official. I got to see a couple of driver appearances. I almost fainted. If you guys follow me on Instagram, you saw how close I was to Lewis Hamilton. And this was amazing because it was right after he got podium in the sprint. And so he was in a great mood. He was talking about the tire choice that helped him secure that podium. It was just really amazing. I was breathing the same air. I was probably like, you know, you can't see in the screen, but like so close to him, just sitting there. I got some really great pictures and videos, and of course, I did not go up to him because I think that's probably one of the more annoying things you can do for busy drivers who are on a schedule, is like rush them and try to get an autograph or a picture or whatever. And I understand why people do it, but I really wish people didn't. I think there's like a time and place for that, and he's clearly on a schedule and a busy man. So very cool to see him. And then Zhou Guanyu came as well. He came after quali. He was really fun to see. He was in good form. And of course, we did our listener meetup in collaboration with Fan Behavior with Zoe and Hannah. And that was so fun. It was so many women who came to talk hot takes, exchange friendship bracelets, take pictures, hang out, get to know each other a little bit. It's always so fun to meet up with you guys at races because it breaks down this wall where I feel like I'm just talking to a camera sometimes, and it's nice to be able to see people on the other side of that. And so I always love doing meetups. We do one at every race that I go to, and so we'll be doing more. The next one will be in Monaco if anyone is going. So hopefully people will be there and we can do a meetup there as well, but I will be bringing my mom to Monaco, so I'm very excited for that. What else can I tell you about Saturday? Pironi, the talent that was with Pironi that day was Madeline White, who I'm a big fan of. And if you guys don't know her, you should definitely look her up. She knows a lot about Formula One, which is cool. That's not the focus of her content. She does a lot of kind of fashion. She makes her own clothes a lot and just sort of a lifestyle creator. But she knows a ton about F1, is a big F1 fan, and goes to a decent amount of races. And so cool that it was just like me and her with Pironi. I got to chat with her. She's very sweet in person. I only met her very briefly, but loved that experience. And then after quali, took the car back, had to go straight to the WhatsApp premiere because the doors were going to close and traffic was horrendous. And so there was another event I was supposed to go to beforehand, but I unfortunately could not make it because of the traffic, and I am so sad about it, but I could not miss the chance to see Kimi Antonelli in the flesh and see the premiere of his documentary with Netflix that is out, I think today. By the time you're seeing this, I think it's out. So definitely give that a watch. Kimi Antonelli is quickly becoming one of my favorite drivers. He is amazing. The story is amazing. It's so wholesome. The documentary was made by WhatsApp and obviously Mercedes-AMG Petronas Formula One team and is on Netflix. So Highly recommend. I cried again. I don't know. I'm not usually like a movie crier, but these past two, the F1 Academy premiere and then also the WhatsApp Kimi Antonelli documentary, I cried at both of them. And maybe, I don't know, maybe there's something about Formula One and the characters and seeing behind the scenes that gets me, but it got me. And then Sunday, sadly, I had to fly home in the morning. I could not go to the race because I cannot risk missing class. I do not want to fail out of my MBA program. For those who don't know, I am a full-time student getting my MBA at Stanford. And so I needed to come back on Sunday. No risk of a flight cancellation or rain delay or whatever it is. Needed to get home. So I was sad to miss it at the track, but it looked very rainy. It was really sad to see the F1 Academy second race get rained out, but it was nice to watch from the comfort of my own home. So with that, we're gonna go over to the race recap with Tabby, who came with me to Miami. If you guys are new to the podcast, you might not have seen Tabby yet, but she came to Vegas with me last season and has been on the podcast a couple of times and has helped us out with some things in the past. So it was really fun to have her there. But with that, let's head on over to the race recap.
Hi, Tabby. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So excited to chat about the Miami Grand Prix weekend, which we were both there for, which is always so fun. Yes. It's always more fun to talk about races when you're actually seeing them live.
I'm so excited. I also think we were a little spoiled because we were there and it was very action-packed, like the entire weekend.
Crazy weekend. So yeah, how was your weekend overall? How was the experience for you? Was it fun?
It was good. First time in Miami, first time at the Miami Grand Prix. First time, as I told you, seeing so much action with my own eyeballs. So that was really awesome to actually see cars not just following each other in a line around the track, but actually seeing some overtakes and some exciting stuff. So I had a great time.
Yay. Well, the weekend started off with a bang when Miami was announced as renewing its contract until 2041. Like, I had a feeling Miami would renew, but 2041 is a long time. I think some of the commentators were joking, like, Lily, Max Verstappen's newborn child, might be like ready to hop in the F1 car at that point, which I think she's, what year is 2041? She's going to be like still very young, but
yeah,
it's kind of funny.
But still.
A long time. I mean, I love Miami. I think I was joking with somebody every single race I go to, I'm like, no, that's my favorite race. But I definitely feel that way again after Miami this year. I'm like, no, Miami's amazing and it should stay on the calendar forever. So I was excited to see that news. Yeah, I know. I wish we could have so many, but the teams and F1 in general really seem to go all out for Miami. And I think they go out all out for a lot of US races in general, but Miami, especially for whatever reason, just feels like there's so much more happening, like whether that's shows or brand or partner events or teams doing special liveries. Like we had some incredible liveries, and by liveries, I mean one livery, which was V-Carb, and Ferrari's was maybe a questionable choice,
I mean,
but
Mercedes as well.
Mercedes, but really for Dorian,
mostly.
I wish the F1 Mercedes car had done the Dorian livery. I think that would have been so cool. But
it is interesting hearing some of the critiques about Miami being extended for so long. But I think that, like you're saying, the teams and themselves really get excited. So that's cool to see. It'll be around.
Totally. And it was nice that they had a little bit of a break between the last race so they could kind of rest up and feel ready to go. And I don't think anyone knew the chaos that was coming their way with the rain and the weather and everything happening and a sprint weekend. So there was a lot to chat about. So let's dive into the racing. So first, we only had one practice and sort of I think we clearly saw the track evolution throughout that session, kind of getting better and better. And Williams was looking really strong, which was, I think, good foreshadowing for the rest of the weekend, which we will certainly talk about. But then, unfortunately, it ended a little bit early. There was a red flag caused by Ollie Berman, who spun and crashed at turn 12, which was too bad, but it was super late in the session. So they all got their lap times in, which was good.
Yeah. It was too bad. A bummer and not a great weekend for him. So,
I know. I know. Although he made up some places in
a little bit.
The rookies had some tough times.
I know.
Someone in our Discord was like, "I feel personally attacked," or I forget how they phrased it, but like the graphic of what happened to the rookies during the race in Miami was not necessary.
Oh my goodness! Like, it wasn't so all their sad. Fault, but yeah. It hurt to see.
Let's go through sprint quali. Tabby, what were your thoughts there? What happened?
Okay. It was exciting, I would say. Again, I think the track evolution was very obvious. Teams seemed to be like putting in one lap, waiting, and then the next lap times were all like much quicker. Mm-hmm. So it was very interesting because Jack Doohan and Yuki Tsunoda, they were very upset about missing out on their final flying lap. So they were part of the knockouts. And Hajar also had his time deleted. And I remember we were waiting and waiting, but luckily he did get in a lap that got him out of the drop zone.
Yeah, thank God for that. Yes. SQ1 was kind of wild. I mean, all of this was wild just with the different conditions and whatnot. But yeah, for SQ1 knockouts, we had Lance Stroll, Jack Doohan, Yuki Tsunoda, Gabriel Bortoleto, and Ollie Berman. So pretty rookie heavy SQ1 knockout with Yuki in there, which was really too bad. Felt very bad for him on that. SQ2, really the only main highlight there was Sainz not being able to get a time in. He went off track during a flying lap. So he was unfortunately knocked out of SQ2 along with Nico Hülkenberg, Esteban Ocon, Pierre Gasly, and Liam Lawson, I think. So it was kind of a bummer, unfortunately, for him. But the Williams otherwise looked pretty strong this week. Yeah.
Was exciting to see.
SQ3
was very exciting, I would say. It was interesting. I thought that only Russell and Verstappen kind of put in a lap at first, and then everybody came out at the end to get their last flying lap in. But very exciting. So awesome. I think the energy in person was really great because Kimi was on pole.
It was amazing. My favorite moment of the whole weekend. So Kimi gets pole, which is obviously iconic, but the fact that Kimi didn't know that he had to go and like give interviews. He just kind of like walked away. And it is so cute because I'm like, Kimi, no, you don't really know like what you have to do when you get pole. You're finishing so well and doing so well. I just thought that was so wholesome and a very sweet, sweet thing for him. But it was really exciting for him. I think Kimi is very quickly establishing himself as one of the favorites. Obviously, best performing rookie so far this season, but really up there. And it's unfortunate that some of the other results during the sprint and then during the race didn't pan out as we had hoped they might for him, but very exciting nonetheless. So in the end, we had Kimi on pole, and then we had the McLarens, Piastri, and then Norris. And then we had Max in fourth, followed by Russell, the Ferraris, Leclerc, then Hamilton. Yeah, interesting sprint quali, and it was really, really fun to watch. For the sprint itself, so this was really fun also. Like, such great racing all weekend. A lot of action, rain. There was some tire strategy going on. It was basically just kind of rainy, not a lot of sun. Yuki, unfortunately, had to start in the pit lane for suspension setup change, and then this was actually crazy, and I was in Ferrari Paddock Club at this time. Leclerc, before the race even started, had sort of aquaplaned and crashed into the wall, which took him out of the sprint completely. Like, we thought that maybe they would fix his car in time and he would be able to start from the pit lane or something, but unfortunately that was not to be. And that was pretty tough. So the formation lap started, or it continued behind the safety car. Everyone was on inters except Sainz. There were a lot of comments about how hard it was to see. Yeah, so then there was a red flag, and it was cool because I was in the paddock club, so I was just like looking down at the pit lane and seeing all the cars. And it's really cool to see what they actually do with the cars during a red flag. Like, there's so much going on. The wires come out, the computers come out, the tire blankets come out, the dry ice comes out. They're trying to keep the tires warm, but like cool the rest of it and make sure, you know, the drivers come out of the cars. And there's just like a lot happening, and there's a lot of running during a red flag, even though there's a lot of like time to just kind of sit and wait. But yeah, it was kind of cool to see that firsthand. But yeah, so there was about like 15 to 20 minutes of that red flag. There was a standing start after one lap around behind the safety car. And so after the restart, this was sort of turn one. Piastri got the inside line. Antonelli went off the first corner, which allowed both McLarens and Verstappen to pass, which was so sad.
I was sitting at turn one, so had that perfect view of it, and everybody was like screaming on their feet. It was so sad, but also exciting that, you know, or I mean, not exciting, but he didn't like have any damage or anything. He was able to at least rejoin.
It was tough because that was a situation where it's like you don't know if that's necessarily lack of experience or if it's the conditions or what really went down. It's kind of hard to tell. I'm sure he feels disappointed in the way it went and feels like he could have done something better there, but also tricky conditions. And I think it was only the second time running in the wet for these people, these drivers in new cars. So it's really tough for them to kind of sort that out. So I was so happy to see Kimi get pole, but sad to see him slide back, even though I don't fully blame him for that.
Yeah, sometimes things just happen.
Exactly. And when you have two of the fastest cars on the grid breathing down your neck behind you, and then also Max Verstappen, like I think you get a little bit of a pass there. So one other event that sort of happened during the sprint, which was crazy, was Verstappen was released into Antonelli in the pit lane. And so Verstappen's front wing broke. Antonelli had to repit. And so Max ended up getting a 10-second penalty for that, which fair. It was an unsafe release for sure. So
yeah. And I think even during that, Kimi wasn't able to pit at that time. So then he had to come back around and then pit to get the new tires. So that was also a bummer pushing further down.
Yeah, 100%. There were a couple other things that happened. So Sainz clipped the wall. He got a tire puncture, and then Alonso crashed at turn 12 after a little tussle with Liam Lawson, which Alonso had a rough weekend overall. Aston Martin was not loving the Miami track. But yeah, unfortunately, the sprint finished under safety car. And so Norris got really lucky with the timing there. So he was able to pit under the safety car, come out in the lead ahead of Piastri, and was able to stay there for the win. So great place to be at the right time. But yeah, that was actually kind of crazy.
Yeah, to at least, I thought it was exciting. I wasn't expecting, or at least before the rain, I wasn't expecting to see a lot of pit stops during a sprint. But it was really interesting to see all the cars coming out of, especially at turn one, the way the pit lane is, it's kind of exit on a curve. So that was really interesting to see all the cars. And then also notably Hamilton, he got a great early pit stop on softs. A lot of others were on mediums, and that helped him make it to third place, and he got to round out our podium, which is so exciting.
Yeah, he came up to the Paddock Club after to speak about it and was talking about that tire choice. And he was like, no, guys, we need to go on the softs. We need to go on the softs. And he certainly made the right call. Listen to the 7-time world champion when he is the king in the wet, especially. He knows what's up. So that was really exciting. He was very complimentary of the team, which the tides turned a little bit on Sunday, as we'll discuss. But it was a fun moment in paradise for a little bit. So the final order for the sprint was Norris, Piastri, Hamilton, Albon, Russell, Stroll, Lawson, and Berman. But then unfortunately after the sprint, Albon, Lawson, and Berman all dropped out of the points due to penalties. So our final point scorers were Lando, then Oscar, then Hamilton on podium, then Russell, Stroll, Tsunoda, Antonelli, and Gasly. But one thing we haven't talked about in the sprint was the sort of Kimi-Oscar beef at the beginning. And it was, I didn't think a ton of it during the day, but then at the WhatsApp premiere at night, Kimi made a comment being like, oh, now I know what's possible to do in turn one, so I'm going to be better prepared for it. He was kind of like blaming Oscar for the whole situation that happened on lap one. And I thought that was spicy. It wasn't on my bingo card to have Kimi and Oscar beefing.
Right. Can we mention what Toto said, Tiki?
Yeah, say it.
Oh my gosh. Well, it was also hilarious. Toto was later joking about giving Kimi permission to give Oscar some payback on Sunday after the turn one.
Well, what he actually explicitly said was that He gives Kimi Antonelli permission to shunt Oscar Piastri into turn one. Obviously, he was joking, but I thought that was hilarious that Toto Wolff said that out loud in front of a crowd of people at the WhatsApp premiere. So let's talk about quali before we dive into all of the discussion of things that went down. But quali is fun in Miami, but notably, and the curse, I don't know if it's a curse, but the stat still stands, a pole sitter has never won at this track. So
easy.
Always interesting quali when that is the case, but it was completely dry and sunny. You wouldn't have even known it was the same day. Q1 knockouts, we had Ocon, Alonso, Gasly, Stroll, and Berman. Tsunoda and Hamilton were in the drop zone until the last moments. Hamilton likes to make us sweat sometimes, I feel like.
That's exciting for you, Tiggy.
I know. Trying to just keep me on my toes, I guess. Q2 knockouts, we had Isaac, Hadjar, Hamilton, Bortoleto, Doohan, and Lawson. And notably for Hamilton, this was his first Q2 exit in a Ferrari. So his worst starting position in Ferrari. He was not happy with that. But notably, both Williams were into Q3, which was very exciting, continuing the great performance from them this weekend.
So in Q3, there was a big battle between Verstappen and Norris for provisional and eventual pole position. So Verstappen just barely edged out Norris after Lando kind of banged over the curb, I think, in his last final lap. So that was a bummer. But excitingly, then Kimi came and he was able to split the McLaren. So started P3, which was really exciting and also funny that he was going to be then starting next to Oscar on Sunday. So our final order, Verstappen and Norris were on the front row, followed by Kimi and Oscar. And then after that, we had Russell and Sainz, who did a great job in the Williams, followed by Albon, Leclerc, Ocon, and Tsunoda.
Okay, and then so for the race, maybe a hot take. I don't know if it's a hot take. I thought it might be the best race of the year. The on-track battles, the potential impending rain, which never came, but made, I think, strategy a little bit interesting and questionable. There were multiple virtual safety cars, the team radios we will get into. Oh, my God. But first, the Lego driver parade. We have to talk about this. This is like one of the most wholesome and fun things. And every driver seemed to absolutely love it. They were like, this was the most fun we've had. So they raced Lego cars. They were actually like driving them for the driver's parade. And it was so cute. So you had each team in their own car, but like they were together. So like Lewis and Charles were together, Kimi and George were together, and it was actually the funniest thing ever. And Pierre got a little like frisky with his driving. It just seemed like everybody was having fun, and I feel like we should do that every driver's parade.
That would be awesome. I agree.
It's so funny. So for the race itself, the strategy call here was it was really a one-stop race. Whether you started on mediums or hards was the open question, but the strategy was medium to hard or hard to medium. Almost all started on mediums that were kind of in the top 10, but notably George started on hards. It was a good start from the top three. There was a lockup from Max, and then Norris was able to get alongside but was pushed wide and tumbled all the way down to sixth place, and he was frustrated by it, but it was nice and refreshing after the race. There was no further investigation, but Lando after the race was like, yeah, I wasn't good enough. I wasn't like far enough ahead for that to warrant a penalty or to just be ahead. And so it was just good racing, I guess. And so nothing further happened, but it was a bummer for Lando, who tumbled down to sixth there. That allowed Kimi to get into second, which was very exciting for a little bit. And then we had Liam Lawson and Jack Doohan collide as well on that first lap. Doohan, unfortunately, DNF'd, and that caused a virtual safety car.
I know.
Back it's to kind the of rough for Doohan.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it's like not what he needs.
Right. That's exactly what I was about to say. He wants to be proving himself, showing he, you know, deserves this role. But when you get unlucky, there's only so much you can show on track.
Yeah, the announcers seemed to think it was Liam's fault, although there was no further investigation. Right. So in theory, it wasn't really anyone's fault. But mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels unlucky, I think. But that's sometimes the reality of starting far back is there's more traffic, there's more potential for incidents. You're racing potentially against people who are less experienced. What I've been so impressed by this season is the amount of on track, wheel to wheel battles that have been clean, mostly between like veteran races. And I would put Kimi Antonelli in that because he's often like up in the top six or seven, but we've just seen some really good clean racing, which I think when you see it, it looks easy, but it's actually so hard to do and the margins are so fine. And so I've been really impressed that we actually haven't seen teammates take each other out, Max or the McLarens take each other out or anything like that. It's been pretty impressive to watch that racing.
That's a great point. Especially today. There were a lot of moments I think it was kind of like, oh, what's going to happen? Or they get really close, but it was like great to watch with, I mean, I don't know if little drama is the right word, but clean racing. So
yeah, it was a great racing. Even the announcers were having themselves a blast. They were like, this race is amazing. Like, loving it.
I feel like that makes everybody watching excited too.
Yeah. It really spread the good vibes. And it's funny because usually when you watch a race and a team wins by 30 plus seconds, you're like, okay, that was kind of a snooze fest and kind of boring and dominant, but the battle for at least Lando to get up there and also Oscar, who had to pass Max, which was, and Kimi, those were some fun battles to watch. And so even though the timesheets say it was 30 plus seconds, it felt more exciting than that for quite some time. So yeah, it was really fun to watch Oscar just kind of take off. He was able to pass Kimi for P2 and then able to pass Max. And that was just insane battling between them. It was really fun. And the announcers were like, okay, it's a foregone conclusion that Oscar is going to pass Max. But I'm like, I don't know. The way Max is defending, like, this is insane. Like, he can, yes. Max's racecraft is actually a work of art to witness, I think. That defense was wild.
Agree. And what's crazy is, like, he was defending against Oscar for however many laps and then immediately has to defend against Lando and hold him up for a really long time. Yeah. I was so impressed. And I think the announcers kept talking about like, oh, Norris really needs to get ahead. Like Oscar's pulling away. But to Lando's credit, Max was putting up quite a fight. Like, yes. It was very intense.
100%. But lucky for Lando and Oscar, they were in an absolute rocket ship. And both of them after the race, I think, were just talking about how grateful they are to the team for all the work that's been put into this car, just clearly being miles ahead. And so it was also nice not to have to see Oscar and Lando fight each other. I know we've seen a lot of that drama past races and heard it over the radio. So it was nice at least that the spotlight was shifted to Ferrari this time from McLaren. Even if you think it's a bit overhyped, AI is suddenly everywhere, from customer service to Formula Auto racing. If it's not in your industry yet, it's coming fast. But AI needs a lot of speed and computing power, so how do you compete without costs spinning out? Time to race to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a blazing fast and secure platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, plus all your AI and machine learning workloads. OCI costs 50% less for compute and 80% less for networking. That is a lot of prize money. Thousands of businesses have already upgraded to OCI, including Vodafone, Thomson Reuters, and Suno AI. Right now, Oracle is offering to cut your current cloud bill in half if you move to OCI for new U.S. customers with minimum financial commitment. Offer ends May 31st. See if your company qualifies for this special offer at oracle.com/paddock. That's oracle.com/paddock. Has the last F1 race got your stress levels through the roof? It might actually not be Ferrari's strategy or papaya rules. It might actually be your hormones. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I personally took the quiz, and one of the recommendations I got was to start Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, fatigue, weight gain, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I've definitely noticed a difference. So ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code PADDOCKPROJECT for 15% off today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
What else happened? So we had a few DNFs. Ollie Berman, he on lap 29 had a power unit failure that caused a virtual safety car. And then literally like a couple laps later, Bortoleto had the exact same thing. So both rookies had power unit failures there, caused another virtual safety car, but both of them managed to pull off in really great spots. I think someone in our Discord was like, the rookies are finding really great parking spots. Actually crazy. And then Lawson also retired later in the race. So there were a decent amount of DNFs and mostly from the rookies, which was too bad. And then the Ferrari drama, I think we have to talk about that. So Hamilton and Leclerc were right, you know, kind of neck and neck. Leclerc was ahead of Hamilton. Hamilton was on the mediums at that point, and he was stuck behind Leclerc, and he was clearly faster on those tires at that point. And he was kind of going onto the radio being like, hello, are we just going to like sit around and wait here? Or are we going to actually swap so I can get a chance to go fight Kimi Antonelli, who is, I think at that point was like somewhere 4 or 5 seconds ahead or something like that. But I think it was one of the first moments where we've really seen some semblance of an answer to the question of like, who is the number one driver at Ferrari and how is the team going to handle when both drivers are sort of neck and neck? And if there's a team order situation, what will come of that? And so it took Ferrari a while. They ended up swapping Hamilton, who was clearly the faster car, but it took them a while to get there. They told him at first, like, just sit tight and stay in his DRS zone. And he was like, hello, have a tea break while you're at it. Come on, with our radio of the week. So eventually Ferrari instructed Charles to let him pass. But by that point, Lewis, I don't think, was able to gain much ground, and maybe the tires had worn out a bit more. And so he was actually not able to gain much ground. And so they swapped back. But before that, Charles was like, now I'm just in dirty air. Like, tell Lewis to go faster. Which is like, oh, it's so rough to hear on the radio. And I think one of the announcers, like, it might have been Julian Palmer. He was like, Ferrari's getting a lot of airtime with this, but not a lot of points.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Which is so sad. It also, like, for a second looked like they were told to swap, and then, like, maybe they weren't going to swap. And Charles was like, it's fine now. Like, let's just get closer to Antonelli, because they were trying to catch up. And they did swap, so it was kind of a lot happening. Not great.
Yeah, and then Sainz was they came on the radio, and they were like, Sainz is 1.4 seconds behind, and Lewis literally goes – do you want me to let him pass as well?
Lewis, I mean, it got so close. Like the
Sass. The sass.
Yes.
What do you make of this? I'll get to my thoughts, but I'm curious what you think.
Not great impression.
For who?
I think from the team. I'm sure they've had discussions, like, we're not in the room obviously, but I'm sure they've had so many discussions about what they will do in different situations and whatnot. But it feels like the decisions were just a little bit too slow, to the point where it wasn't helping anybody. And it is a really, really tough spot for everybody. But I do think that just a little bit quicker and more decisive decision making could have made this a little bit less sticky.
Yeah, I think Lewis was very right to be frustrated and annoyed by that. But, and I say this as the biggest Lewis Hamilton fan, I actually think he'll probably regret saying some of what he did on the radio. Right. I think it's always tough to be super sassy on the radio, have a tea break while you're at it. I mean, I get being frustrated. I don't know what it's like driving 200 miles an hour. So it's hard to judge from this vantage point. But I think Ferrari didn't handle it very well, but I also wish Lewis hadn't maybe said as much as he did on the radio, even though it made for fun drama.
I think it also maybe could have been a little different if Lewis was able to get past after some a little sassy remarks and then get ahead. But the fact that they did the swap and he wasn't, it just wasn't his fault, I would
say.
That
hurt my heart.
Yeah, but it's just hard to watch, definitely. And
no, I think that's a really great point, because I think if he had been able to pass and then just kind of pull away into clean air and chase Kimi down, then it would have been a much easier call for him to be frustrated and annoyed by the whole thing. But then if you make a big fuss about getting by your teammate and then aren't actually faster when you do make the switch, whether or not that was your fault because it was so delayed, it just makes it look worse, I think. So
right. And then pivoting a little bit, but by the last lap, Hamilton's signs were like racing it out, like clashing, like hitting tires, I think. And I think part of it is just the racing, but part of me also is wondering, like, I wonder how much of like the whole Hamilton taking Sainz's seat kind of plays into the we're going to fight this out.
That's a good point. And it's also interesting to me that Ferrari originally didn't swap them, and their justification was Sainz, who was 1.5 seconds behind Hamilton. So not an immediate threat. And it was kind of a strange call for them to make. And I wonder if that had anything to do with the fact that that car was Sainz rather than someone else. I don't know. I don't know. I thought that was interesting. But yeah, that last few laps battle between Hamilton and Sainz was, there's more at stake there than just a couple points. It's pride on the line.
Oh, man.
But anyway, our podium, we had Oscar on the top step, then Lando, and then George, which might I just say, guess who snuck on the podium again? And by snuck, I mean deserve to be there. If you've listened to this podcast before, you have heard me say justice for George many a time. The man just keeps delivering. And yes, he was 30 seconds behind the McLarens, but so was everybody else.
And to his credit, I mean, I think he got lucky with the virtual safety car ending when they pitted. So he ended up right in front of Max, which was very lucky. But he held off Max for the last like 10 plus laps. Max was within 2 seconds. And I think even the announcers, they kept saying like, oh, can't count Verstappen out. Like he's coming up behind him. But I think George did a great job of just holding his ground.
Yeah.
He finished it out.
As he does. It was a bummer not to see Kimi up there. I was really manifesting a Kimi podium. That was my hot take for the week. So I was sad. We had two really good chances with his qualifying performance, and neither of them panned out. But darn, I was really hoping for that for Kimi. But it's coming soon. I can feel it. He's just there. I think he just needs a little bit more of experience, especially in tricky conditions, and he will make it happen. But he's clearly got the pace. And I can't wait for you all to see this WhatsApp documentary, because I became an even bigger fan of Kimi after watching that. So highly recommend. One other random note was the moving post-race interviews, which I thought was funny. I was like, they were, especially when they were interviewing Oscar, like they first interviewed, I think it was George and then Lando, and they both had their own like solo shots. You couldn't really see other people in the background. And then when they interviewed Oscar, it was like Oscar in the middle seat with Lando and George right next to him. Like he was like holding court between the three. And the post-race interview was like a view of three of them, which I thought was kind of funny. Okay, let's dive into our MVPs and LVPs. I'll give mine, and then Tebby, I want to hear yours. But for me, MVP has to go to Alex Albon. I think the Williams looked incredible this weekend, but I think especially Albon just passing Ferraris, passing Mercedes. The announcers at one point were like, man, it's a great day to be a Williams fan. And it was giving like, I think someone in our Discord said too, it was giving like the 90s when it was like Ferrari versus Williams and they were kind of battling each other. And he was, I think at one point told to hold position, but he knew he had more pace and he really proved that he did. And so I think this matched his highest finish of the season, which I think he got fifth also in Australia. So really exciting for him. And he crushed it. And the Williams is looking good. So I'm very happy for him. Who is yours?
Excited. Mine? I'm going back and forth a little bit. I think it's kind of a weird one, but I'm going to say Lando. I think it did take him a little bit longer to pass Max. And so he wasn't able to catch Oscar at the end. Oscar like pulled away and he was trying to catch him, didn't quite get there. But what I am impressed by, although, you know, I think there's a lot of talk about Oscar pulling away and just like the championship lead, I'm very impressed by how when he fell back, he admitted he was wrong, but he worked his way back up really quick. And then something that I just really noticed during all the interviews and everything after is how like, happy, so many smiles. I guess it helps that he was still like 30 seconds ahead of everybody else. But I can't even imagine the like, pressure he's under and how much internally I'm sure he's very disappointed in himself. Yeah. But I think that just, you know, his whole take, he was so very happy for Oscar, smiling, still having a great time. I think that like wins a lot of points in my book.
I love that. I think that's really true. And there has been a lot of discourse with Oscar now surpassing Lando in the number of wins and just obviously being ahead of him in the championship. And there's been a lot of discourse about, oh, Lando can't handle the pressure. He's not mentally strong enough. Oscar's much more world champion material when it comes to like personality and tenor and skill and all of that. And I just think, yeah, it was nice to see Lando take the sprint win this weekend, even if there was some luck involved there, and then also charge back through the field after being in sixth to reach second. And yeah, it's a bummer. I wonder what would have happened if he hadn't done that. He probably would have won the race had that move with Max not happened. But yeah, it was nice to not see him super down and like kind of retreating within himself after the race. So I totally agree with that. LVP, who do you got?
I don't have a specific person, but just the whole, the rookies, even though it wasn't all their fault, seeing so many of them like not finish the race was just so disappointing to me. I think we want to see them do well and get the experience, and it's hard to get great experience when you're not finishing the race. So I think Kimi did great. Isaac finished just outside the points, barely. But I would have just loved to see a little bit more. And also, I think what we're talking about is some of the racing. Like, I have noticed a few of the collisions, like, week after week, it tends to be one of the rookies. And it might just be because they're further back and there's more traffic. But also, I think a little bit of the lack of experience is showing a tiny bit, even though definitely the engine issues and stuff isn't really in their control.
Yeah. It was unfortunate that those power unit failures for them, but I agree that I'm still waiting for another rookie to emerge as sort of a consistent number two performer as a rookie to Kimi Antonelli, because Kimi's proven that he's consistent. He's got the speed. Granted, he's in a really good car, but I think, yeah, I'm waiting for a rookie to emerge as sort of like the second consistent best, quote unquote. And I think Isaac Hadjar has shown moments of that, and I think he's probably in my mind like up there as the second right now, but I would love to keep seeing more from them and hopefully see some of them emerge, because we can have more than one Oscar Piastri caliber rookie. Maybe that's Kimi right now, but yeah, someone else I think should hopefully get to improve and see that as well. My LVP, I feel like we already talked about it, but it's mostly these Ferrari team radios. I mean, yes, it was fun and drama and tea and all of that, but I hate to see that play out. And I think the debrief tonight between that team is going to be pretty tough. And what I would give to be a fly on the wall, but I also feel like I would crawl inside my skin.
Be very uncomfortable for everybody.
Yeah, really, really tough. But always gotta stick by the Ferrari boys. I'm sure they'll come back strong. They're both very professional. I actually give credit to Leclerc for being pretty professional on the radio during all of that. Like, when the race engineer asked Leclerc at one point when he was behind Hamilton, like how much more pace he had if he were to get into clean air, I was like, that's kind of a silly question. If you're going to ask a driver how much pace they have behind their teammate, of course they're going to say like, yeah, let me run free and see what happens. But he actually like was like, I have no idea. We need to try to get as close to Kimi as possible. I really don't know how much pace I have. So I thought Leclerc handled it pretty professionally overall, even though the radios themselves were tough to hear. But okay, let's dive into the standings before we get into the F1 Academy race weekend recap. So for drivers, we have Oscar Piastri pulling even more ahead with 131. We have Lando with 115, then Max with 99, George with 93, and then a pretty big drop to Charles Leclerc at 53 and Kimi Antonelli 48. So that's getting close. I think Kimi's proving that he can make some moves. He could be fourth, fifth in the championship soon. Soon. And then Lewis 41, Alex Albon 30, Esteban Ocon 14, and Lance Stroll 14. So those are your top 10. For constructors, we have McLaren at 246, Mercedes at 141, Red Bull at 105, Ferrari 94, Williams 37, Haas 20, Aston Martin 14, Racing Bulls 8, Alpine 7, and Kick Sauber 6. So not a ton of movement there, although it's nice to see Mercedes kind of continue to be consistent and pull ahead there. So it's good. All right. For F1 Academy, this was a really fun weekend, and I was there helping cover the weekend for them in and out of the paddock, got to interview Leah, as I mentioned before, and it was just so fun to see how far they've come, all the excitement around the women, the fact that so many people can kind of come in and out of the paddock, and how crowded it was during the race weekend, and seeing that was so fun. And so this was round three for them of the year after the last weekend they were in Saudi, the last race weekend. And the team there is just top notch. Everybody, it feels like a well-oiled machine, although I'm sure there are a million things going behind the scenes going on, and there's a lot to get done, especially when, you know, it's a sprint weekend for F1 and everything, but I thought it was so well handled. But for quali, so we had Chloe Chambers on pole, followed by her teammate, Alicia Palmowski, who continues to just really impress me. Alicia is a rookie, and she's been up there kind of weekend after weekend. And so she is fast. And we got to see her on the Women Who Rocked panel, and she's so well-spoken too. She's like literally so articulate. And I'm like, you're so young. It's crazy. I know,
talking about like being a role model and everything. Everything she said was just beautiful.
Yeah. And yeah, just so incredibly well-spoken. And then P3, we had Dorianne and then Ella Lloyd and Leah Block rounding out the top five. There was a bit of like conditions, tricky rain and stuff like that, like kind of in and out throughout the session. The main story in quali was Maya Vogue losing out because she only had one attempt and was stuck in traffic. So she had a little bit of a tricky lap. So she had to settle for farther down the grid than I think she would have hoped. For race one, this is the reverse start. So that's always fun. Tabby, you want to chat through some of this?
Sure. Okay. So at the start was very exciting. I think Emma Fulbermeyer, she had a great start staying out front, but Lloyd and Rafaela Ferreira made contact. And so Ella went off the track and ended up actually having to retire and cause a safety car. So that was really unfortunate. But this kind of allowed Dorianne to shoot up from sixth to second. So she was right behind Emma. And there was a lot of exciting back and forth between the two for the first few laps, especially after the safety car ended. And so a lot of it happened at turn one where I was sitting, which was really cool to see. And it was great to see how many people were watching and so invested. Not just women, but like the stands were full. People were excited, which kind of goes to show how much F1 Academy has grown, which is really great to see.
It was really awesome. And then there was another safety car. So after some contact between Chloe Chong, Joanne Ciccante, and Nicole Havdra, there was a three-way battle between them that caused some retirements. And then Raffaella was also forced out for repairs. But then Alicia was behind Dorianne, who had a strong restart to keep her behind. There was also some great battles. Leah Block and Tina Hausman had a battle. Leah was unfortunately given a five-second penalty after the race for gaining an advantage by leaving the track, but it's always fun to see them kind of battle it out. Rafaela recovered after turn one to get eighth place and the last point. And then Chloe Chambers made her way up to P3 for podium, and Maya Vogue also worked her way up in a very great recovery drive from 10th to fourth. And usually F1 Academy has two races during a weekend, but unfortunately race two was canceled due to the rain. It had stopped raining, but I think the track was just too wet for it to be safe. But I'm glad they played it safe. It's never worth it to go forward in conditions that are questionable. So bummer not to see them race, but we'll see them soon.
Yes, can't wait.
Yes. Well, what a great race weekend in Miami. I think whether you were there or not, it was an incredible weekend to watch. I think the rain kept us on our toes, and then the race just had incredible battles back and forth up and down the grid. And so it was fun, and I had a blast being there in person. Tabby, it was so fun to be there with you too, and I can't wait for the next race already. I'm like, can't come soon enough. Well, thank you all for listening. We will chat next week.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.